RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's okay not to be perfect with finances. Experian is your big financial friend and here to help. Did you know you can get matched with credit cards on the app? Some cards are labeled no ding decline, which means if you're not approved, they won't hurt your credit scores. Download the Experian app for free today. Applying for no ding decline cards won't hurt your credit scores if you aren't initially approved. Initial approval will result in a hard inquiry, which may impact your credit scores. Experian.
Hey, I'm Greg Hill, and this is The Greg Hill Show, where Boston sports and real talk collide.
I'm Courtney Cox, along with Wiggy. We break down everything from the Patriots and Celtics to Sox, Bruins, and the stories that have the whole city talking.
Yo, you'll get bold takes, big guests, breaking news, and trust me, we ain't afraid to stir it up.
We've got every Boston sports angle covered.
Follow and listen to The Greg Hill Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes drop every week. Day.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
All right, let's go play Tessie. Welcome back. It's episode 278. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel and hit the thumbs up on all our videos there. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. Not to start this podcast off on like a sour note, but like this is the worst day of the year. Like it's the daylight savings in the wrong way. And it's the first full day of the offseason without baseball, which you could spin into a positive. Like, yes, like we get to, you know, kind of start getting into the meat and potatoes of the Red Sox offseason, 4 days away from decisions starting to be made. Like we'll talk about the Lucas Giolito qualifying offer stuff on this podcast. We've talked a ton about Bregman and Story's opt-out decisions, which are happening that same day. So I get all that. But, I mean, we just watched a monster of a Game 7 last night. And to just go from that to no baseball and it gets dark an hour earlier? Sammy, stop smiling. This sucks.
Oh, dude. I love the darkness. The second baseball season ends, I just want it to be dark. All the time. Just pitch black outside all the time. There's nothing to be excited about. There's no baseball. Why do we even need the sun? So I'm all for the darkness. I don't like the baseball being gone, if that wasn't clear. But yeah, man, jokes aside, I just sleep so much better this time of year. I feel less obligated to be outside every 2 seconds. I'm a better employee at work. I'm a better podcaster when it's dark. I love the darkness, and I have a dark, dark, dark soul. So I think it just fits me.
No, dude, this time of year sucks because from my perspective on Sundays, so like any other time of year. So we're talking, we'll go like April to October. Sunday, 4 o'clock games end. Sun's going down. You're like, all right. You know, Sunday's coming to an end. Got work tomorrow. Dude, that shit hits you like 3 hours earlier in the winter. It sucks. Like Sunday scaries hit at like 3 p.m. It's awful. It sucks. Going to work at 7 in the morning, it looks like it's 2 a.m. It's awful.
I will say, it feels like it's way more than an hour every year. It feels like the clocks get pushed forward like 3 hours. I kind of agree with you, Pat. Like, because in my head, it wasn't getting dark at 5 yesterday. It was getting dark at like 6, 6:30. But I guess if I look back, it was getting dark at 5. But in my head, it's not. So I don't know. The dark at 4 o'clock, I get why people hate it. I think I'm just a weirdo and that's why I like it. But man, I love being cozy.
I have to find like this time of year and basically the months of November through February. So what is that? November, December, January, February. Basically until we actually get into spring training where there are games to watch. Because like when they get to spring training, it's – you get the pictures, you get the interviews for like one day, and then at that point it's like it's back to not really having much until they play the games. So for 4 months I have to find like these little things to make my life interesting, just because like I most of my life is in the spring and summertime is dedicated to watching baseball and the Red Sox and talking about the Red Sox, and so much is happening, and then this time of year really not that much is happening. Like my project this week, I installed this whole new backdrop thing, and like I'm like, oh, that's cool. And now I'm back to like trivia question for you guys. What do you think my first bobblehead was? I got bobbleheads in the back for those of you not watching on YouTube. Who do you
think it
which
was?
Player? I'll give you a hint of the year. It was right after 2004.
Was it it's a player?
Hint. It's a player right after 04, and that's a deceiving hint.
Red Sox?
It's a Red Sox player.
I'm going to guess it's like Jim Rice, because you said deceiving. So I'm going to guess it has nothing to do with 2004. So like Jim Rice.
Pat, you have a guess?
I'm going to go with, I'm not even thinking the 04 team. I'm thinking of the 2005 team. There's Renteria. I think Matt Clement, David Wells. I'm going to go John Olerud.
You said the name, dude. You were right there.
Did I?
It's not
Renteria?
Old.
Edgar Renteria? Brother, that's Drew Holiday.
Dude, that looks like it is from the early 1900s, and I will not explain why. Oh my God, that is one of the worst bobbleheads I've ever seen.
It looks way worse on camera. It doesn't look that bad in person, I promise. It looks really bad on camera.
That is a horrifying bobblehead.
Oh my God. It doesn't not look like that in person.
My first bobblehead was from my dad. He was at Cal Ripken's last game, and I have a Cal Ripken bobblehead from Cal Ripken's last game.
Of Cal.
Of Cal. It's a Cal.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better than your Drew Renteria bobblehead.
Dude, I cannot believe how bad that Renteria bobblehead is. Holy crap.
You should
post a picture of it tomorrow when we post this episode, so people who are listening can see it, because that is a nightmare. That's nightmare fuel.
This is crazy. I'm like looking at it through the iPhone camera, and it looks way worse through the iPhone camera than it does in person.
Yeah, it's nasty.
It looks very bad on camera. But yeah, shout out Edgar Renteria, the opposite of a Red Sox legend. That was a tough year. I was so obsessed with him back then, because like as a kid, that was kind of the first year. The Red Sox had just won the World Series. I didn't know what free agency was before that. So in my head, I was thinking, oh, wow, this guy's really good, and the Red Sox just get him for free? That's awesome. So I'm like, I'm going to get behind this guy. This guy's going to be my dude. Like, Manny's my favorite player, but Edgar Renteria, I'm going to make him my number two. And then what, he led the league in errors that year, right?
Do I have he it was right? He led the league in errors.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he was bad, but I was so excited when the Red Sox got him, because the previous 2 years, he was the all-star shortstop in the NL. I don't know if he started, but he was on the all-star team, and that's kind of when I was getting into baseball. Was I think 2002 is probably the first year I fully remember. So Renteria being like hot lava at that time, 2003, 2004, looking right now, he had a 5 war season in 2003.
Wow.
Yeah, he was great. So,
he's good.
Yeah. 15th in MVP, pretty good. Gold Glove, Silver Slugger. Super excited. And then with the Red Sox, like the glove was bad. The bat was very bad. Looking at it now, it's actually worse than I remember. So I think it's apt that Edgar Renteria bobblehead is just a mess. And can I give another Renteria take?
Please do.
This is my biggest issue with him. He's a rookie in what? 1997 was his like official. No, 96. Never mind. I take this all back. I was going to say he won the World Series in 97 and then he won it in 2010. So he could have won it his first year and his last year. Either way, he won it in 2010 and he was totally washed. And I was like, that's awesome. Renteria, go out on top. Crazy. And then he came back in 2011 for like 90 games. He was awful, played for the Reds. And as he just went out kind of like with like a fart in the wind. He could have been a guy going out on top. I always love that in sports when guys win and retire. Like
it's
kind of
like it's kind of like Steve Pierce, even though like I wanted him back at the time. So I wasn't upset that he came back. I loved him. But had he retired after 18, the legend and lore of like people would remember him a little bit more fond. Like people like Steve Pierce and people know he was the World Series MVP and people appreciate what he did. But if he retired after that, people would be like, oh, my God, where's Steve Pierce?
Yeah, he should not have come back. I remember when someone announced that he was coming back. I kind of had a really, man, like you. That was so good. Why don't you just leave? You're 36.
Pat.
Da-na-na-na-na-na. Willy Abreu, Gold Glove winner in right field. Shout out, Willy.
Nice.
Shout out, Willy. Nice. Well deserved. And it's crazy how many. How many games did he play this year? Was it like 130?
Maybe not even that. No, I think it was way less. I think he was around 120, yeah.
Am I crazy? I feel like he was not as good this year defensively. Still good, but like it felt 2024. Yeah, his throws were bad. He had a lot of not even close like assist attempts. But hey, Fenway right field, you're going to get all the metrics in your wheelhouse.
He played 115 games this year.
Wow. Hey, Ty France won one too.
Pat?
No. Sit on Rafaela, Gold Glover in center field.
Hell yeah.
Can't believe it. When did they announce the platinum glove?
Tonight, I think.
Okay.
No.
And is there any chance Seydon wins two gold gloves and wins the utility one? I don't think he will, but.
He wasn't even nominated for it.
Do they even have nominations? I thought they just.
Yeah.
Who's nominated for that? It's a bizarre award.
I could find it at some. I know I took note that he wasn't nominated though. There was someone else I thought might get nominated that didn't, and maybe
I didn't even know they did utility Gold Glove nominations. I thought they just like picked a runner up who like
the guy,
Brendan Donovan or whatever, Dylan Moore, some great utility winners.
All right, last trivia question on Edgar Renteria before we actually get into real Red Sox talk. First, he did lead the league in errors in 2005. My trivia question, he was traded to the Braves right after the 05 season. They got him right out of town. Who was he traded for? And bonus, who was that guy traded for?
What year was this?
This was going into 06. And was the other guy traded right away? I'll figure that out too. But the guy who they traded for did not play for the Red Sox. He was then traded for someone who did play for the Red Sox.
Wait, what was your question? Restate your question.
Okay. The Red Sox traded Edgar Renteria for who?
Oh, man.
He was traded that same offseason for another player who joined the Red Sox.
I got no clue. That's not my wheel. You're the trade
guy. Was that guy moved in the Beckett Lowell trade?
No.
Oh, God. Coco was a free agent, wasn't he? Well, no, for Coco?
He was traded Coco. In the Coco deal.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I believe he was the number... He was a top, like an elite prospect in baseball. But no he clue. Never. He was never good.
Give it and, to me.
It's Andy Marte. May
oh,
he rest
yes.
in peace, I think.
Yeah, I think he did pass away.
I think he did. Andy Marte was in the Coco deal. And yeah, he did pass away at age 33. That's sad. He was a big prospect. But... Yeah, we can shout out Coco Crisp, shout out Andy Marte, shout out Edgar Renteria.
And I don't mean every time we talk about something heavy, Pat starts laughing, and then I try not to laugh because we're both nervous and we're not supposed to laugh, and then we end up laughing.
Because just what an insane thing to do. Rest in peace, I think.
You got it.
Oh. Yeah. Dead. Rest in peace.
I think.
Yeah.
Sad though. He was a top prospect, to be clear. He was like a great defender. He was supposed to be big, and yeah, that it is sad.
How many years he played? He played 05, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 14. That's weird. But speaking of free agent decisions a la Edgar Renteria, Red Sox have a big free agent decision to make a la the qualifying offer with Lucas Giolito. That, I feel like, is the most prominent discussion amongst Sox fans right now because, yes, we're going to find out if Story is going to opt in or out. Yes, Bregman is going to officially opt out. But the Giolito thing is within the Red Sox power, which I feel like is why it's the most prominent topic of discussion. And to be honest with you, I've been surprised. I put up a poll today. Let me see where it got about would you give Giolito the qualifying offer? I got a little over 1,100 votes, and 66% of people said that they would not give Giolito the $22.025 million qualifying offer. For those of you that don't know the logistics of the qualifying offer, they give Lucas Giolito an offer for that amount for 1 year. If he accepts it, he's back on the team for the season, can't get traded until like mid-June or something. And if he declines it, then he's a free agent, but the team that signs him has to surrender draft capital, and the Red Sox would receive draft capital. So, yeah.
And in this case, it would be after the fourth round, I believe, because last year, what was it? Red Sox offered one or didn't offer.
It was because they were in the tax.
Right. Oh, the luxury tax. Has to do with the luxury tax. Yeah. We'll try to keep it simple because some of this baseball offseason stuff gets super convoluted. But yeah, if they offer Giolito the qualifying offer, $22.05 million, which is the same for any player getting the qualifying offer. If he takes it, great. If he doesn't take it, I think it's after the fourth round is when the Red Sox get a pick. So it's not a high pick like it was in years prior, which is, I think, very significant here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I'm going to make the argument for why. I don't know where you guys stand with this. Sammy, I know where you stand with it. Pat, I don't remember where you stand with it, so don't spoil it. I'm going to give my take as to why I think they should give it to him. I think they should give it to him because I think he's going to decline it. Simple. I think if he's healthy, and the Red Sox know his medicals, they got the tests from the doctor he visited in Alabama who performed his surgery a year ago, or going on 2 years ago now. They know if he's healthy. If he's healthy, you give him the qualifying offer. He had a terrific season. He's not going to take it. He's only going to take it if he's hurt. And if he's hurt, the Red Sox should know he's hurt and not offer it. Simple as that. And if he does accept it and he's healthy, no, I don't think he takes it. Why would he take it?
Here's the argument. I could see him not taking it, Gordo, but the argument for him, yes, accepting it is one, that's a lot of money. And two, he didn't have a full season in 2025. Like, he missed a month to start, and he also fizzled down the stretch. So he might be thinking, I'm only 31 years old. What's the difference? 31, 32. If I ball out another year comfortable with the Red Sox, I could get an even better offer. That's the only, I'm not saying I think that'll happen. I just don't think it's out of the question. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion whether he accepts or declines the qualifying offer. That's completely up in the air, in my opinion.
I agree. Not a foregone conclusion, but you look at his last 19, like he had that weird up and down start where he would have like a good start and then a terrible start and then a good start and then a terrible start. And that was, how many starts was that? That was for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. His first 7 starts, it was basically every other. After that, his final 19 starts of the season, he had a 2.51 ERA.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen considerably worse pitchers decline the qualifying offer and get paid anyway. So like, there's no reason that he would see what they did and suggest that was a mistake.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. My only contention is if you're offering it to him to get the draft pick, not saying you're doing this, Gordo, but if you want the Red Sox to offer it to Giolito and you don't want him to come back and you're only saying you want the Red Sox to offer it to get the draft pick, to me, that is like, that's a bizarre asset allocation attempts. Like, you're risking having a starting pitcher. This is not like a bullpen guy, a starting pitcher that you don't want so that you can get like a fourth, fifth round pick, whatever it is. Like a, I don't know. I think if you offer it to him, it should be because you are, you know, interested in having him back from the Red Sox.
Prepared for him to accept it.
Yes, yes. And I mean, you want me to share my opinion on it now?
Yeah, let me put a bow on mine. I would be prepared for him to accept it. And I see a lot of people trying to say that the Red Sox offseason gets torpedoed financially if Giolito accepts the qualifying offer. I don't think it does. I think there are plenty of avenues to still get a number two starting pitcher that doesn't make a ton of money, cough, cough, Joe Ryan, and mm-hmm. still get the offense you need. Even with Giolito, you need pitching depth. You've got plenty of it. Doesn't hurt to have more. So I'm prepared for him to accept it if I offer it, but I'm confident that if he's healthy, he wouldn't accept it, especially with the impending lockout. He's now going to take a one-year deal to then have to be a free agent with the lockout and potential restructure of the financial landscape of baseball. I just don't see it. That's but let me hear your take.
Yeah. Also, if your offseason gets torpedoed by a one-year $22 million deal, then your GM sucks. So that's I don't think your ownership. Yeah, both of them. I want Giolito to come back to the Boston Red Sox contingent on two things via the qualifying offer, of course. One has to be healthy. If there's any concern at all, like even a glimmer of doubt about his arm health, no thanks. Sorry, good player. I like Giolito on a personal level, but arm injury for a pitcher, $22 million, can't do it. Second contingency thing, he has to be the three or the four. I don't want him coming back with the intent for it to be the same, you know, Crochet, Giolito, Bayo, same as it was in 2025. I want it to be Crochet, blank addition, Joe Ryan, someone like that. Then you have Giolito and Bayo, three and four, however you want it. And then the fifth spot up for grabs, spring training, we'll see. He can't be the guy you add. Those are my two, you know, my two issues with this whole situation. But if it were up to me, in a vacuum, Giolito, at his age, coming off the season he just had for $22 million, slam dunk, dude. And I think that Red Sox fans so quickly forget the value of having starting pitching. And I know there's depth. I know there's depth in the organization, Major League and AAA. It's not just low minors now. It's guys who are ready-ish to go. But there's a lot of question marks with those depth pieces. And a guy like Connelly Early is the hot name everyone's talking about. And I love what he did down the stretch in the season and in October. But how many times have we seen young guys like that start hot, fizzle, get hurt, things happen? So I just think I would caution Red Sox fans being too comfortable with the pitching as is and saying you don't need a guy like Giolito. I think you do. I think you definitely need a veteran presence, a guy who can log innings like Giolito, because you don't really know what you're going to get from those depth pieces. So yes, I would offer Giolito the qualifying offer, and I'd be happy if he took it, and I'd be happy if they got the draft pick.
Question for you, Sammy, before we get Pat's take. If Lucas Giolito declined the qualifying offer from the Red Sox, would you want them to then pursue him in free agency, or would you be content to let him walk and take the draft pick?
Probably not, because I like him on a one-year deal, just because, like, see, this is now when you look at the young guys long-term. I think you can look at the young guys and be like, all right, we don't need to sign a ton of long-term deals. But for 2026, I still think you need a guy like Giolito. So no, I wouldn't go after him on a long-term deal if he declined the qualifying offer. I just like him on a one-year deal.
It is interesting how much like Connelly Early's breakout or his flash of success quickly reminded us of what they've got coming. And obviously you saw Peyton Tolley, they've got Perales, they've got more coming. So I don't disagree with that. Sammy?
And I like Early. He's pitched 19 innings and then a playoff appearance. That's not even close to enough of a sample size for me to be comfortable with him being anything other than the number five starter or the first depth option coming up from AAA. It's just, I'm cautioning people. I like Connelly Early. I believe in the kid, but just be careful.
Agreed. But like long term, you see how many options that they have. And like a couple of those guys are going to become legitimate mid rotation, potentially even better big league starters. So I with your point about not necessarily wanting to pursue a mid rotation kind of guy on an extended term deal, I think it makes perfect sense. But I got to get Pat's take. Pat, on Giolito, would you give him the qualifying offer? Start there.
No, I wouldn't.
I'm glad you're giving me the take. I want to hear this point of view.
No. So like my thing is, I agree with love Giolito. He was great this year on paper. He, when healthy, was an innings eater, kind of like he was as advertised. Velo is down across the board. Command was for sure better than it was the last 2 years before he came to Boston. He so incredibly overperformed his metrics. He was below 40th percentile in every single baseball savant metric aside from extension and hard hit percent. Like, it's the ocean on his baseball savant page. So that's where I am on him. The other thing too is I like the depth they have as is. You have Crochet, you have Bayo, you have Dobbins. Dobbins will be healthy. You have Fitz, you have Early, you have Tolley, you have Patrick Sandoval, who you signed for $12.5 million. You have Uberstein, you have Perales coming up. Like, they have options out the wazoo right now. I'm not worried about somebody taking the 4 or 5 spot because they have guys on the team that can handle that. If Cutter's healthy, and you guys know me, I'm not even a big Cutter Crawford fan. Cutter can be your 4 or 5 comfortably. Sandoval, see what he looks like. That could be him. Early could be Early. Tolley can figure out some secondary stuff. Could be Tolley. Like, you have so many options in that bucket that would be Giolito. And then, unfortunately, the main reason I'm kind of saying no to it, is because I do subscribe to the belief that if they tendered that and he accepted, they're fucked in terms of spending. As of on paper right now, projected $208 million payroll. That's not with Bregman. That is not with Giolito. That is not adding power, and that is not getting a second starter. Sorry. So if you factor in, we'll say Bregman for roughly $30 million, you put in Giolito for 22. If you add 55 to the payroll, you're sitting at right around 270, and you still have to get an everyday power hitter and a number two starter. I don't see them going into the season with a $300 million payroll. I wish they would. I just don't see it.
Well, the one thing you got to remember there, and I see a lot of people bringing up that exact same point, Pat, that you're already at this point with the payroll, and it's before Bregman, and it's before potentially Giolito accepting the qualifying offer, all that. But the one thing people are forgetting is that there's an outfielder to trade, and I think they're probably going to trade the most expensive one in Jaron Duran. There's, if you're going to get an everyday power hitter, you're probably going to have to find a way to save some money off Masataka Yoshida. And if Giolito accepts the qualifying offer, then maybe that changes the calculus on that trade from just dumping or eating salary to get the guy off, as opposed to trading a prospect with him to then get a team to eat a little bit more salary. Like, you can change the calculus of a trade with Masa. You could potentially do the same with Jordan Hicks, though I don't think they would do that. There's ways to go about it. But I got a question for Pat here. Pat, if the Red Sox offered Giolito the qualifying offer, what percent chance do you think?
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
What is the percent chance that you think he would accept it?
Ooh.
I'm curious just how much risk you think is involved here. That's what I'm getting at here.
I think a little less than 50. Because he was injured in 24, came back in 25, was injured to start the year, pitched well on paper. My thing is, if they give him the QO, I don't think any team is willing to give up a draft pick for Giolito. With the metrics that he had, age, the velo, the injuries, the second you slap a QO and $22 million on him, his agent might know that. If they offer that QO, they might just say, hey, you're better off coming back, getting a full year healthy, pitching again and hitting the market next year because your market is not going to be what it should be. That's my fear, and I think that's likely.
I get what you're saying, Pat. I don't love using the Savant page for Giolito specifically just because of how drastic the changes he went through over the season were. Like, he looked like a different guy down the stretch. Like, he started off like crap, and I was not feeling good about him early on. Then he got really hot. Then he got cold. Then he got really hot to end the season, like Gordo said, for like, what, like 19 consecutive, not consecutive, but like his last 19 were great. Yep. So I get what you're saying. The metrics don't jump off the page to you, but I think there needs to be a lot of nuance. And I think you'd be better off looking at those kind of metrics month by month to paint a better picture. And yeah, you could say that about anyone, but I think it really applies here for Giolito. And question to you guys, this was his first mostly healthy season since the surgery, 31 years old. So he's not, you know, he's not young, but he's not old, especially for a guy who plays his role like a beefy starting pitcher. We just saw 41-year-old Max Scherzer start Game 7 on Saturday night, the World Series. Do you guys think he improves on his expected numbers? I'm not talking about his stats overall, but the expected numbers that Pat pointed out. Do you think he gets better in 2026 or worse?
I mean, that's hard to say just because like...
Or the same.
I mean, those things show up, but... I mean, I don't know exactly how most of that stuff is even calculated.
I just feel like, well, go ahead, Pat. What do you think? Do you think that those, I'm just talking expected numbers, the ones that you referenced. Yeah. Do you think those get better or worse?
I think they stay about the same or get a little bit worse. And Sammy, I pulled up his pre and post All-Star break. It was as identical gets. Pre All-Star, he had a 3.36 in 13 games started, 72 innings. Post All-Star break, he had a 3.47 in 13 games, 72.2 innings.
Sounds like an awesome pitcher.
Yeah.
One home run off. He had a lot. The command issues came up in the second half. Strikeouts were, I give or take, roughly the same.
He did 0.12
difference in whip. He did.
I get what you're saying, Pat. I'm talking about like chunk it. Like if it's chunk, just because he was so up and down. But my point here is, when why I asked this question is, it wasn't a fully healthy season in 2025 for Giolito. He pitched through stuff, like Gordo said, and he also got a late start. And it's his first year pitching for the Red Sox. He was with them in 24, but he didn't pitch. So I don't know. I think like you get a full regular offseason. You get a full normal spring training. You get a full regular major league season with him. If I were a betting man, which I'm not, but if I were, I would say he probably improves. Who knows? Maybe the velocity ticks up. Like, you never know, guys, that second year post-surgery, sometimes they look way, way, way better. And I don't know, the way Giolito finished the season, despite pitching through shit, if he's healthy, I think he gets better. Expected numbers. Talking expected numbers only, because I know like it's a tough, confusing conversation when you compare the actual numbers. Just expected numbers. I would, if I were a betting man, I think he improves.
Well, here's the thing is like if Lucas Giolito's back here, for me, it's not going like they're going to go out and try to get a number two starting pitcher, regardless of whether Lucas Giolito's back here. So if he's here, what his role is going to be is what he's been best at throughout his career, which is eating innings. He was even pitching hurt this year and coming back late, he still eclipsed the threshold to get that player option or that team option wiped, make it a mutual option, be able to hit the open market. To me, I look at the guys who turned down the qualifying offer in recent years, who had higher ERA. Like Nick Pivetta coming off how many straight seasons of a 4-plus ERA? 1, 2, 3, 4. Four consecutive seasons of a 4-plus ERA, and Nick Pivetta turned down the qualifying offer and got paid. You had Sean Manaea had a higher ERA, turned down the qualifying offer, got paid. Luis Severino, higher ERA, turned down the qualifying offer, got paid. Yes, if you want to look at the Baseball Savant pages, it looks prettier for those guys. Tyler Anderson was bad his whole career, had one good year, turned down the qualifying offer, got paid. Like this, with starting pitchers, routinely these guys get paid over and over and over again. We are shocked every single year at how much these guys get paid in free agency. I just don't see why it would change now for a guy who, even if you're not super enthused by what you see on the underlying metrics, what you do know is he's going to eat innings for you. And that, to me, is worth at least like the John Gray contract to a team that needs starting pitching. Maybe not the Red Sox, because they don't need mid-rotation starting pitching, but there are teams that do need it.
I mean, listen to these numbers. How you cannot take this for granted. 26 starts, 3.41 ERA, 145 innings, 120 ERA plus. Like, that's a good player. And people like scoff at Giolito, not Pat, but I'm saying people will scoff at like what he did in 2025. And again, I'm like, did everyone forget 2024, 2023, 2022, all those seasons when the Red Sox had like three starting pitchers and we're just begging, can you get, I remember being on the show genuinely being like, I don't know, I would take Jordan Lyles, just someone who can throw 5-6 innings, like anything. I'm so sick of these bombs who can't get through four friggin' innings. And then you get Giolito and all of a sudden it feels like more than half of Red Sox fans like, we don't need the guy. We got a bunch of guys in AAA, like Pat read off the list. Those are a lot of guys with upside. I don't feel great about any of them in 2026. Patrick Sandoval, who the fuck knows what he's going to. Cutter Crawford got all these weird injuries. He might be in the bullpen. Perales throws really hard, hasn't ever pitched in AAA, let alone the big leagues. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel great in 2026 about any of those options taking up anything more than the fifth spot in the rotation to start.
What I will say is, if you're looking at those dudes individually, yeah, there's risk involved. But the collection of them all, with the amount of guys that they have, let's say Giolito walks and you get a number two starter and you're trying to fill the four and five, the collection of all those guys being able to fill the number four and the five, that's something I feel good about. If you were telling me Patrick Sandoval specifically needs to be good enough to be in this rotation the whole year, I would say, okay, like him alone, I think he could be good, but alone, that's a risk. When you've got like six, seven, eight names that all could produce in the four and five spot, I feel good about that.
Yeah, I feel good about if it were the five spot. Four and five, like, you're the Boston Red Sox. You don't need to be rolling the dice on a bunch of these guys for 40% of your rotation. By the way, Luis Perales did pitch in AAA. I forgot he pitched, what is this, like?
Like in relief.
He pitched one and a third, so he did pitch. Shame on me. Yeah. But yeah, Gordo, I agree with what you said, just not for two spots. For one spot, sure. Like, I want that. This is also with the lockout probably coming in 2027. Just freaking go for it, dude. Like, we might not even be talking about this a year from now. So just fucking win the game. Win games, bro.
If Giolito comes back on a 1-year deal, then yeah, like, you take it and run and have all those dudes compete for one spot, like, and you'll just take the added depth. But I've seen enough from that group as a collective where if Giolito turns down the qualifying offer, I'm not going after two starting pitchers. I'm going after one, no doubt about it. There's so many options. Number two starter on the trade market, preferably. You could pay a Cease or a Mike King, or there's plenty of guys. I could read the list of names. There's maybe like 15 names that the Red Sox could target, and you can make a legitimate argument that they could be the number two starter for you. And I would just pour all my assets into that and into the bat that you need and bring in back Bregman and just trust that the guys that have shown you that they can pitch at the big league level, like, show faith in those guys to do what they've shown they can already do.
We'd also be expecting Crochet and Bayo to both either repeat or build on their career best seasons, which they both had in 2025. I don't want to sound like I'm down on the rotation as it is, like, in our heads right now, but I need a little bit more certainty to heal these scars from years past.
It's every team though, Sammy. Like every team has two, maybe three top of the rotation guys. And if those guys don't perform or they get hurt, then it kills them.
Not the two teams in the World Series. Not those two teams. That's where I want the Red Sox to be. I don't want to be like the other teams. I want to be like the friggin' Blue Jays who had Jose Berrios not even make the roster. Like that's I want to be overly aggressive.
If Yamamoto got hurt, do you think the Dodgers could have won the World Series?
No.
Because that's where we're at with Crochet. Like if Crochet gets hurt, I don't care who the Red Sox get. They're not going anywhere if Garrett Crochet goes down.
Yamamoto? No, just because I mean that was like a historic performance. But if they lost the starter, they have so many. Like I think the Dodgers. That's what happened in 2024. Granted, their opponent wasn't that scary in 2024, but you know.
The Red Sox have such good depth in the rotation. Like you're not gonna have a depth of top two in the rotation guys. Like the Blue Jays had a lot of names, but
I don't know
out of guys who are actually top
depth.
Two guys.
They have a
Red
lot
Sox
of
have
depth.
Really good depth.
They have a lot of depth. It's not like it's nothing you can't pencil the depth in for anything right now. Is why I'm kind of it's a weird spot because I all the guys that we've been talking about, I like all of them, but none of them I'm like, dude, we're good if XYZ gets hurt. We got this guy in AAA. Like it's
Pat.
But I think you're forgetting where we were a year ago when we were saying we literally were talking about the Dodgers. And we were saying they have guys like Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller. Like those are all like unproven guys who were given shots and proved they could do it. The lack of certainty sucks, obviously, but like you have guys who, albeit small sample sizes, have shown they can pitch in the big leagues. Early, Dobbins, Cutter, Fitz. You don't feel great about them right now. I wouldn't say Hunter Dobbins 4, Connelly Early 5. I feel great. But those are guys you feel comfortable getting that shot. And that's where we are now kind of similar in the sense to the Dodgers because you do have all of these guys right down the chain who you're okay with getting a shot to fill this rotation.
Wait, real quick, you would feel great about Dobbins and Early starting the season in the rotation for the Red Sox? I'd feel okay, but great, you said?
I'd feel good.
No, I said I wouldn't say I feel great about them, but I feel great about giving them the shot. Like I think they could, one or both, could run with it. Like I feel great giving them a shot.
I guess my hangup is that it's two spots. If it were just one spot, I would be fully on the same page as you guys. But two spots, two roll the dice guys, like I think that's where I'm getting a little tripped up and I want the Red Sox to be a little more greedy, kind of like they were last year. I need a little more of that, I guess.
If I would agree with you, Sammy, if it was like three guys for two spots, I'd be a little bit concerned. But it's like you've got in terms of legitimate options. So I'm not gonna like throw Cooper Criswell in this mix, but you got Cutter Crawford, Hunter Dobbins, Connelly Early, Richard Fitz, Kyle Harrison, and Patrick Sandoval and Peyton Tolley. That's names for two spots. And that's not even counting like Luis Perales. I mean, Peyton Tolley's not going to be on the opening day roster as a starter, but by midseason, you could get Luis Perales up to the big leagues as a starter. You could get Peyton Tolley up to the big leagues as a legitimate starter. Like, we're talking about opening day here, but it's not where you're at on opening day. It's where are you going to be at the All-Star break? Where are you going to be in September? Where are you going to be in October? You've got enough pitching.
True, but I'll invoke the Dodgers again with their GM, Ball River. Why am I not? Gomes. I like his quote from last year. He said to Bradfo, he's like, we want to make it so that we don't have to do anything big at the deadline. Like, that's a scary spot. By the way, Craig Breslow, 0-2, big time at the deadline. So I don't exactly feel great about, hey, if this doesn't work, you can add at the deadline. Dustin May, congrats on the ring. Jesus, man. I need the security. I hear what you guys are saying. I'm not like strongly disagreeing. I would like a little more of a foundation. I want there to not be enough room for Perales and Tolley. That's the spot I want the Red Sox to be in. Where do we fit these guys in?
Seven guys for one spot, though. Like, you have to also think logistically. It's like, okay, you've got your five-man rotation, and then you've got one of the seven guys wins the five spot, and now you've got six guys. And like, I know obviously not they're not all going to be healthy, but I'm just saying, like, if they are, you have to have a plan for if they are.
You have to remember, though, that it's almost undeniable that some of those guys get moved for number two if they go the trade route.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a different – and Pat, to your point, if they trade multiple of those guys in a trade for a number two, then that maybe that changes the calculus of maybe you do go after a dude for a 1 year. But I just – to Sammy's point from before, I don't see the Red Sox giving a three-year deal for a mid-rotation or like mid-to-back-end kind of starter. So you'd basically be giving a one-year dart throw to another Walker Buehler type, and is that really the smartest use of your assets?
And then that about this
ties back to the main point of if you're going to trade, we'll just throw names out. Two of Dobbins, Harrison, Toley, Early, then yeah, the QO for Giolito makes sense. Like, but it sucks because you don't know what the trade looks like before you need to QO Giolito. It's tricky.
True.
It is. It's
the order of operations makes it a little bit difficult. I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like
I keep thinking of these two names, the trade market. Gordo, you mentioned earlier Joe Ryan, a guy who you trade for who doesn't affect the money at all. And then the other guy I'm thinking of is Freddie Peralta, who for whatever reason, and apparently Milwaukee's open to move him, which I think is absolutely insane and embarrassing for them. But hey, if they're willing to trade him, I think he only makes $8 million, if I remember correctly. That's a guy who barely affects your luxury tax situation. So if people are concerned about Giolito's $22 million affecting the finances, then those are the pitchers you're going to be thinking about.
I've got one more. Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah, another good one.
Like, Sandy Alcantara makes a little bit more. Like, if you want to dream on Tarek Skubal, he's going to make a bunch in arbitration. If you want to go free agent route, like, all of those guys are going to get paid high AAV deals, even if you go short-term on someone. But the guys that you mentioned plus Mackenzie Gore, like those are the cheaper ones. And it's like if you give Giolito the QO and he accepts it, you can now afford to deal multiple pitchers to get one of those guys who's making a little bit less money. Like there is a way to finagle this thing if he accepts it. To me, I don't, like, obviously it puts a little bit of a wrinkle in the offseason, but I don't think it torpedoes it. Especially if ownership spends to the level that they should, which is the Blue Jays and the Phillies, which they haven't yet, but they should.
Yep. Agree. Quick tangent, really quick. Just want to go back to something I just said. How embarrassing is that for the Brewers? They just won 95 games, best record in the NL regular season. And they're like, yeah, we'll trade our ace because he's on an expiring deal. Like, that is so, that's the kind of team that's bad for baseball, is a team that does shit like that. That is so. That's disgusting. Just disgraceful.
Oh, dude. The
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
the issue in baseball is not the Dodgers, the Steve Cohens. It's the owners who don't spend the money they make. That's the issue in baseball. It's not the owners who want to win. It's the owners who don't give a shit about their team.
Yeah.
How could you be a Brewers fan? How could you possibly be a Milwaukee Brewers fan after that great season you just had? Yeah, it ended in a shitty way. You didn't want it to end like that. But unbelievable team you got out there. And you're already talking about, let's ship out our game one starter who's been with the team for years and has been great the entire time. Let's get rid of him because he's on an expiring deal. Not even a talk about extending him, which they could easily do if they wanted to, but they're not. Gross.
You just as a fan, and I'm glad I'm not a fan of a team like that. I know we've had our issues with it, but it's not that. That said, if you're a fan of that team, all you got to do is just keep the faith that, hey, they did the same thing with Corbin Burns. They did the same thing with Josh Hader, and they basically haven't missed a beat somehow. There's something in the secret sauce there. But on the subject of what the problems with baseball are, and like we can kind of bring this into kind of like a group Nuff said to talk a little bit about the incredible, incredible World Series that we just saw and the incredible Game 7 that we just saw. But I'll start it off by saying that with the lockout looming a year from now, baseball is in such a good place in terms of viewership of the game, attendance, interest in the game, talking about the game. The product on the field is so good that to me, I think they would be batshit crazy to try to mess with it right now, to mess with the economics, to halt that momentum after what we saw, not just in the World Series, but over the course of the entire season this year. Maybe it gives a little bit of hope that they're not going to be crazy, but then again, they were stupid last time and they had a great year before the lockout last time and risked it all for whatever fucking changes they made, which some were good, some were whatever, some didn't make a difference. That's why we're still here in the spot. But you watch that World Series, you see what happened in Game 7, 11 innings, just the incredible, incredible pitching performance from Yamamoto, legendary stuff. Like he pulled the Bumgarner, and you see that. And you're going to tell me that now is the time to miss a year to change the economics of the game? Hell no. Hell no.
And you got stars. You got stars in the league. That was big. That was a big issue that Major League Baseball has had for a while, like the building stars. Ohtani, Judge, Cal Raleigh's become a star. All these guys coming out of Japan who are superstars in two different big markets. So, I agree, Gordo. That was also one of the best World Series in a long, long time. That reminded me a little bit of how I felt in 2011 with that crazy Cardinals-Rangers when there were the David Freeze. Like, that was cinema. People overuse that. That was legit. Felt like a movie last night. I wanted the Blue Jays to win. I thought it would have been a better story. I know people were like, Canada. I don't care. I have nothing against Canada. I thought it would have been a cool story at home. I love Vlad. To me, that World Series was like The Sopranos season 6, where it's great the entire way. You're like, this is one of the best shows I've ever watched. And then the ending, you're like, all right. Well, it was still a great season. Just didn't love the ending, but that was great.
Are you saying just because the Dodgers won, or are you saying because of how the actual game ended?
No, just because the Dodgers won. Like, I just think it would have been 1,000 times cooler if Vlad hit like a walk-off and Toronto just explodes and they knocked off this unbeatable Dodgers team that got even stronger after winning the World Series. And you're the Blue Jays and nobody wanted to go to you and everyone wanted to go to the Dodgers. Just would have been, I think, a way cooler story. Not to say that it's not a cool story with the Dodgers winning and becoming a dynasty. I just thought like a walk-off in Toronto in that atmosphere, the Rogers Center would have exploded. So, still amazing. That was one of the best World Series I've ever watched in my life. So, congrats to both teams.
Yeah, I mean, every game was entertaining. It was back and forth the entire extra innings in a Game 7 in a series that was truly back and forth. The other thing, too, is like the storylines with it just made it so much better. Like, you have Kershaw and Mickey Rojas both retiring. Scherzer maybe retiring, who knows?
I love how you put those two guys together, Kershaw and Miggy Rojas. Yeah.
Well, they're confirmed moment. But like, yes, they're confirmed. I know. Like, guys going out on top, you have Scherzer who might be going out, and then like just across the board, like 10-15 years from now, you're gonna look at the names in this series, you're gonna see Bichette, Guerrero, Yamamoto, Sasaki, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. Like, it everything in it was just it was truly incredible. Like, it
It was one of the best World Series I've ever watched. And I didn't say that last year. I didn't say that in 21. It was an all-time World Series, and I truly believe it.
Joe?
Fuck the Dodgers for ruining my Bo Bichette moment. Fuck them. That is the only reason I'm mad at this World Series, man.
You're still vindicated, dude. I mean, that Bo was unbelievable playing with, like, half of his body working, and he's still hitting bombs and playing decent defense when he was out there too at a position he doesn't really play. Like, I know he DH'd in game 7, but some good plays at second.
Yeah, but down the clincher, that swing winning the whole thing.
It's true.
Could have been Cinderella for me.
I still want him
on the Sox.
You still got your moment though, Joe. Like, he hit the 3-run homer to go up, and it was like, there it is. The whole season comes full circle, man. But I feel like the funny moment of this World Series that I like, Joe Davis brought it up, but no one talked about it afterward, was the fact that Roky Sasaki faced Miles Straw in the World Series. Yeah. After the Blue Jays had to take on Miles Straw's terrible contract just for the chance to make a play for Roky Sasaki with their international bonus pool. Like, that was how they freed up bonus pool money, was getting it from the Guardians in exchange for taking on Miles Straw. And then Sasaki still spurns them and goes to the Dodgers. He was like the 10th guy to spurn them that offseason. Hilarious storyline. Would have been even funnier if Miles Straw hit him. I don't know. I don't remember what happened, but he didn't get on base. Sasaki won it out.
Yeah. Dude, it just would have been the Blue Jays won. I don't care that they're in the division. And you know what people were saying? They're like, maybe John Henry will see like the Dodgers spending money and it'll make him spend more. No, it's not. I think it would have been more likely a divisional opponent wins the World Series, and then that kicks him into another gear. But damn, I really wanted the Blue Jays to win. I was actually kind of upset when the Dodgers won, even though, like, I'm not a Blue Jays fan, but just thought it would have been really cool.
One little nugget from the World Series. Don't know if you guys saw this yet. I hope you didn't, because it blew my mind. This now marks 6 straight years that a Will Smith has won the World Series.
So, okay, that's true. What teams was the pitcher Will Smith on? He was on the Braves.
He was on the Braves, Royals, Astros, in the
not the Royals.
Braves.
Well, he was on the Royals.
Astros, Rangers.
Oh, Rangers. Right. That was I knew it was a blue team. He played for the Royals, but yeah.
He did, yeah. Yeah, wild nugget. And also, like, he's not there now, but as a catcher, would it surprise either of you guys if Will Smith went on to have like the quietest Hall of Fame career ever?
No.
With what he's already done, like he could do it.
Oh, I'm saying no as in like it would be surprising.
You would be it would not be surprising to you.
No.
Right.
No. I'd be pretty surprised. It's tough to get in as a catcher. He I think you have to win a Gold Glove or be like a prolific defender as a catcher, unless you're just hitting the shit out of the ball, which Will Smith is. 834 career OPS. Like, that's really good, but we're talking Hall of Fame. I don't know. I don't think so, but you never know.
What was Buster Posey's career OPS? Because everyone talks about him like he's a sure bet Hall of Famer. What was his OPS? 889.
He is. He'll be a first ballot.
He will be.
Buster Posey?
I feel like Joe Mauer to me was first. Oh, yeah, 831. I was looking at his last year. 831. So Will Smith, 834. It's like, to me, I think we're a little bit quick to put some of these – like Joe Mauer, I think, was a Hall of Famer. I don't think he should have been first ballot. Buster Posey, I think, is probably a Hall of Famer, but maybe I'm just thinking that because of some of the guys that have gotten him before him. Like, Here's Will Smith could have gone that level.
Gordo, Buster Posey, MVP, Gold Glove, batting title, 5 Silver Sluggers, Rookie of the Year, 3-time World Series champion, just like Smith. Like, he has crazy accolades.
7-time All-Star, batting title. Like, he's basically the NL Joe Mauer plus World Series.
Right. But Will Smith, like, if Will Smith retired now, of course he's not there. But I'm just saying, would it surprise you if he won potentially 2 more World Series, made 2 or 3 more All-Star teams, is at 5 or 6 All-Star games? Like, he's had huge moments. Tough. He's been integral for these Dodgers teams.
I can't believe
to keep it up as a catcher, though. That's where I'm like, if he did this for another 7 seasons, I'd be like, all right, yeah, he's got to be considered. But it's so hard for catchers to just stay on the field like that.
I mean, common sense told me that his first name obviously wasn't fucking Buster, but learning Buster Posey's full name is Gerald Dempsey Posey.
Ooh.
Didn't expect that.
Wow.
His nickname, according to Baseball Reference, is Humbus.
Oh, yeah. I've always called him that, Humbus.
You're always talking Humbus.
Love Humbus. What's his name? Gerald Dempsey Posey, Pat?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Shout out Gerald Dempsey Posey for trading for Rafael Devers. I really wish that didn't happen. We'll end it on that for Gerald, for Edgar Renteria.
For Gerald.
For Gerald and Edgar. That's going to do it for episode 278 of Playtest. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars and subscribe everywhere. We really appreciate it when you guys do that. You can also go on WEI's YouTube channel, see it in video form. Subscribe there. Rate the videos 5 stars. We really appreciate it. And then find us on the socials at PlayTessie, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Remember, we've got whole new graphic designs. Like we're trying to step it up here on the socials. So remember, hit that follow button. It's at PlayTessie everywhere. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for PlayTessie episode 278. We'll be back soon. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
State Senator Jennifer Carroll Foy here, asking you to vote for my friend, Ghazala Hashmi, for Lieutenant Governor. She's a lifelong educator who's fought to expand job training. And Ghazala wrote the bill protecting Medicaid from Trump and MAGA extremists. Join me in voting for Ghazala Hashmi for Lieutenant Governor and Democrats up and down the ballot. Paid for by Workers Vote, 212-265-7000. Not authorized by any federal candidate or federal candidates committee. Workers Vote is responsible for the content of this advertising.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.